If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
720 WGN, a happy Friday night to you. Always a great energy on a Friday evening, and we're going to keep those vibes going. It's 1039. It's John Hansen in right now till 1 in the morning, and I'm happy to be joining you here this evening. Thanks so much for listening. We're broadcasting, of course, from the Allstate Skyline Studios, well above the Chicago River and Wacker Drive. I love hearing the music getting us in, getting us going, and, you know, I was thinking that, you know, I was watching the White Sox, of course, a big winner. I was at the Cubs game yesterday, and nothing more exciting, especially nowadays with these players picking this great music that introduces them to the baseball, to the plate when they come up every time. And I thought that's how we're going to start the show today. Since I get to have this wonderful welcome music that Mr. Michael Heidemann played for me, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our cast of characters using their favorite baseball song. If they were coming to the baseball plate, that's what I'm trying to do. And 312-91-7200, if you want to call in, we're going to give you some introduction music here as well. So let's see if this works. I've been trying to do this. From McHenry, Illinois, Mr. Michael Heidemann.
John, it's great to be with you tonight.
It's great to be with you. So this is your walk-up song. Why don't you introduce us to it?
So this is Meatloaf's Paradise by the Dashboard Light. You know,
this would be what you played on your walk-up to the baseball, the home plate?
Well, I love it because it's the longest song, so if I was, like, kind of, like, taking a little bit of time or needed to mosey on over.
Right, or you had to change your knee pads or something, yeah.
Switch the bats,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Kick up the weights. It'd be a nine-minute walk-up.
They should just play it the whole time while you're batting, you know, in between each pitch, you kind of bang the edge of the plate. Michael, how you doing?
I'm great, John. It's great to see you again. It's a beautiful Friday night here in Chicago, so it's great to see you.
You know what you could do, because a lot of players have different walk-up songs each time they come up. That song has so many movements to it, you could advance the song throughout the game. So by your fourth at bat, you're wrapping things up. But then there's that part of the song where they're like, you know, where they get down and stuff
like
that. Yeah, you could really advance that along.
Well, I'm thinking if we're really going to be out there with whatever team I'm going to play for, I'd like to come on as different players with different names. Like I wear like a mustache for like the seventh inning, and then one inning, I could wear just like a pair of like Coke bottle glasses. And each song would be able to illustrate that character that I was playing in the game.
I'm really dramatic with that. Bobby Valentine once wore a mustache. Did you ever hear that story?
Mm-mm.
Mets manager got kicked out of the baseball game for arguing, came back into the dugout with a fake mustache on. Got suspended by Major League Baseball. Sounds like something out of like the 30s, but this was just about 10 or 15 years ago.
Really?
Yep.
Well, you got to give him credit for trying at least.
Absolutely. All right, continuing on with the introductions. From Evanston, Illinois, in the newsroom, 5'3" tall, here he is, Mr. Roger Bannon.
He'll know a man sitting in his nowhere land. Making all his...
Roger, how you doing? Oh, hold on. Roger, how you doing this evening?
Doing...
You feel good?
I'm
that get
doing
you going?
Great. That, of course, because I'd walk out of the dugout and I'd walk to the wrong place.
Nowhere,
I'd run out to, you know, left field. Hey, how you doing? Center field, right. Walk up to the water boy. Hey, what's up? Where am I supposed to go?
Oh, umpire. Come on. Roger, don't sell yourself short. You played softball for many years.
Yeah, I kind of know my way around the field. But see, in my older years, because I'm assuming it's my walk-up music for now, not when I was in my prime. So my walk-up music now is, crap, here comes Baddish. It's like nothing's gonna happen. Let's sit down, relax, take it easy. He's not gonna swing at anything.
And there he goes.
And he's not going anywhere. Nowhere, man.
Roger, how's your Friday?
Friday is looking real good.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Oh, my gosh. The weather's awesome outside.
Oh, man. It's got a crispness to it. It feels like fall. We're going to get the muggy conditions back next
week.
Don't
jump ahead.
I'm just saying it feels nice.
Yeah, it's very nice.
It's
very
comfortable. Yeah. But it certainly signifies the end of summer. You know, Michael, I'm back in a couple of weeks. Maybe we need to have the last bonfire of the season.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah, in a couple of weeks.
You know, I've been looking back at our postcards from Hayward, and I just wanted to dive back there. It's near the end of the summer.
Yeah. Well,
Little less buggy.
2 weeks I'm in again on the shift, so we'll do that on the Friday night.
We'll
September
have to
6th.
Clean the traps out, you know, for the wintertime. We got to clean the traps. Pull the lines in from
did
the lake.
Did anyone ever like make sure that Orion was done bathing in the water?
Oh, that's a good point. I don't know. I've been hearing him on Saturday mornings. I think he's been okay.
Okay, phew.
Right.
Just making sure.
Unfortunately, all the loons are dead, but we got to go to another town. For those of you who don't know, we've been doing some campfires throughout the summer. That's usually for Bubala's shift. Yeah. Speaking of which, Matt's not here tonight, but the wonderful Hannah Stanley's going to be here.
That's
so
right.
Can't wait for that. Yeah. And I'll take you right up to there. I don't think he's going to jump on the mic, but we got to do an introduction. From Kankakee, Illinois, give a round of applause for our engineer, Adam Phillips. There we go. All right. Can't do anything without the engineer. And Michael, you picked this song for him.
Yes, I did. I know a lot of things about Adam Phillips, but I do know that he is a big, big fish fan. So, of course, we had to have, I'm sure with him being a fish aficionado.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that kind of worked together.
Aficionado, yes.
I like it.
This wouldn't be his go-to song. Uh-huh. It's my favorite fish song.
Oh, so there you go. 312-91-7200. If you were a baseball player professionally, what would be your walk-up music? What would be that song that would get you going? You can text it on in, but if you call on in, we'll play it as we introduce you and bring you on the air. 312-981-7200. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to play a game. Not a game. We like to play a conversation called What's Up with Space? Michael Wall from space.com will be joining us. He wrote a fascinating article today about diversity of life on other planets. So he's come on the program a lot, and we talk about what life is on other planets, whether it exists or not, and for almost certainly there's some sort of form of life existing somewhere else out there, probably not in our solar system, but throughout the galaxy and well beyond into the universe. Anyways, he wrote this incredible article about how other planets, you know, we think of Earth having such strong biodiversity, whether it's with our plants, our flora, our fauna, whatever it is, the animal biodiversity, of course, but he writes that other planets may be well more diverse than our own. And he's going to chat about that and plenty other things, too. That's What's Up with Space. That's coming up after the 11:30 news. But again, 312-91-7200 if you want to have your walk-up song played right here on WGN Radio after this White Sox game. We'd love to have you on. But after the break, I have got an incredible story that I find fascinating. It's baseball-related. Michael, you were an umpire, right?
Yes, I was.
So was I. I didn't know we had this in common.
Mm-hmm.
For many, many years, through my teenage years and even into my young adult years, I was an umpire. It was a harrowing experience, especially when you're like 10 or 11 umpiring for the first time.
Yeah, because you forget that you're so young when they throw you in there. But yeah, I remember working at the Pinto Leagues back in McHenry.
Oh, yeah.
The VFW.
The Baloney Leagues, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
That was later on when you were 16.
Yeah.
You got to live a few outs before you get to the Baloney Leagues.
Baloney Leagues, yeah. And it's a really cool story about a kid who had a run-in with an umpire in the early 90s or 80s and regretted it forever and wanted to seek out that umpire. And it's got a cool ending as well. That's coming up on WGN. 720 WGN. Good Friday evening, everyone. John Hansen here in the WGN Allstate Skyline Studio until 1 in the morning, 10:49 right now. Thanks so much for listening. We're talking a few baseball stories here. We were beginning the show with some walk-up music that would get you going if you were a baseball player and you got to hear it as you stepped to the plate. We've actually got a couple from the text line, so it's going to be a little harder to do this, but here we go. Here comes the text line from the 913. Here comes the texter. That's Valerie by the Monkees. That's a good one. A little nod to the past. I like that one, Mike. That's a good one. Yeah, I like when it cues it on in there. Roger.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, were you ever a baseball umpire, by the way?
I did umpire a couple softball games.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I did one, like, league game.
Okay.
Where the rules are pretty well set.
But not as a kid, like, growing up.
No. I played in Little League, Pony League.
Right.
When I was little.
But
for
you
a couple
umpire,
years.
Yeah.
But I didn't umpire. No.
I'm going to say it was my first job. I don't know. I made like, what, $10, $11 a game, something like that.
And ooh, you sit big up, time.
Yeah,
big
right? Time. Well, it was. When I was young, I was like, oh, my goodness. And you sat out there. And I got to say that there are some memories that stick out to me as an umpire. And it's usually when the coaches would get so upset and they're adults screaming at you. You're like,
and
I'm
you're
12
still the
years
kid.
Old.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think looking back, I think, you know, I never had a problem then later in life, like talking to adults, you know, when you're in those teenage years and, you know, having my piece set or standing up for what I thought was important.
Sure.
Never had much of a problem talking in general. But I wonder if umpiring played a little bit of a role in that. Mike, did you ever have coaches yell at you and scream at you as an umpire?
Yeah, all the time. And I think that was the first time, like you'd mentioned, where I realized that adults didn't know anything and they could be as dumb as teenagers
right.
at the time being. Because it's like your son or daughter it hits or gets struck out and it's like, oh, you know, that was a ball. And I'm like, this is a 10-year-old throwing a pitch. And like, they're all balls. None of them are strikes. Like, yeah, this is all pretend.
It's a really good point. I remember starting one game and the pitcher threw 12 consecutive balls to load the bases. First pitch came in, next one for the bases loaded, next batter. That was about a foot and a half outside. I'm like, strike. Batter's like, come on. I'm like, just swing, dude. This game is going to be long. Mm-hmm. We're at Dorhoffer Park out in the western suburbs. This game, you got an hour, 15 minutes for this game. I remember one time I was like, I just was done with it. I was maybe 12 or 13. I shouldn't say this. But I was just like sitting back there. Game was going on forever. One team was clobbering another team. I was just like, there was a few clouds rolling in. I'm like, lightning. Saw lightning. That'll do it. Wrap it on up. No thunder was ever heard. Everyone was like, I don't think so. I'm like, chop it up. That's it. That's the end of that game. Clap hands. Let's go.
Time to go. Do the shakes.
Get the orange slices. Get the Capri Suns out. Let's get going here. But this story is fascinating. It comes out of New Jersey, and it involves an adult now, but a kid at the time, and he talks about how he was in some big game as a little leaguer. And he came up to the plate, and there were two runners on. They were down by three runs. He hit it deep out to right field, and it got by the right fielder or something. So it wasn't a ball over the fence, but he rounded the bases, and there was a big celebration because he was going to be the tying or the winning run or something. But he, as he approached home plate and he came into home plate, the umpire called him out. And the umpire tried to explain it, but the kid was so upset, obviously. And he has a picture of himself. He kind of looks like a little brat. And this kid, now an adult writing this article, then put up two middle fingers. He flipped the bird at the umpire and walked off, and the game was over or whatever. But that has always stuck with him. He said immediately afterwards, like later on that day, I think his parents weren't happy with what he did, of course. But it always stuck with him that he had done this to this umpire. And of course, you know, when you're a kid and the umpire's maybe 3 or 4 years older than you, they seem so much older. But in reality, you're all pretty similar in age. And it stuck with him for years and years and years. And he was watching the Little League World Series, and it just stuck with him so much that he said, I have to do something about this. It's been 25 years, but I cannot get this image out of my head of me being rude, more than rude, to this umpire. So he put a call out on his own Facebook page. He was still friends on social media with some of his other Little League friends. And they were trying to like figure out what the name might be, who knew someone. And they started piecing together who that umpire might have been just by gathering first names and last names and trying to do it. Well, through process of elimination, and the story is really interesting. He tells it, and this is NewJersey.com or NJ.com in their sports section. He tells the story of all this stuff. He was able to get the first and last name, and he actually looked him up and found out that it was a kid that lived somewhere really close to where he lived. And he got a phone number. So he went ahead 25 years later and called this umpire to talk about it. By the way, the rule which he was called out on was when he hit the ball, it was a really far and outside pitch. Probably he had an umpire like me who was just like, let's get going. Just swing at anything, kids. He stepped on home plate when he made contact with the ball. And if either foot, is out of the batter's box completely when you make contact with the ball, you're out. You can't do that. So he was called out. He still ran the bases, though. He must not have heard the umpire. So that's why he gave him the double finger. Anyway, so he called this umpire up. And the umpire says, I remember you. And he was frightened, and he was like, oh, my gosh, it did stick with me. But it turns out he remembered him just because he was in the neighborhood, and he had read a story that this guy had written later, and he remembered him. And he doesn't actually remember the double finger at all. And the umpire, now adult, went on to say that, you know, it's not what the kids ever did, because kids were, like, supposed to be jerks. Kids were always jerks. They were always upset. They always called you fat or they did whatever. They'd say things under their breath and whatever. But he remembers the adults that were such jerks, because I can remember the name of a couple of coaches that yelled at me, because they were probably like dads of like kids I went to school with or knew through the grapevine. I can remember what they said to me. I can remember the plays as like a 12-year-old that I umpired where I got argued with. I can remember where one parent thought that it was a parent screaming right behind me that their son foul tipped a ball and I called strike three on a swing and a miss. I'll never forget that because I replay it in my head still. I'm like, did he foul tip it? I don't know. I don't think so. Because it's this adult screaming at you when you're a kid.
Was it because it was because of the adults, not because you might have questioned your ability to properly call a game?
Someone yells at you that much, you're like, well, I don't know. I got this big mask on me. I'm 12 years old. Maybe he did fault it, but who cares? But, you know, this is the effect that adult screaming at children has. It's something that sticks with you for a long time. Anyways, I just found the story interesting that someone who had been the aggressor in the situation went ahead and tried to rectify it. They ended up talking. He said, oh, you didn't absolutely need to, but what a nice way to, you know, say thanks and we can relive this. And I just wonder, it kind of brought up the question in my mind, is there anything that you, from when you were a kid, that you remember that you did wrong, that you never said sorry for? 312-981-7200. Anything from your early life that you just want to air on out here, maybe in this radio magical land, we can connect the dots and the right person is listening. Did you ever do something bad as a kid or a young adult or as a teenager? Either got away with it or you just never quite, it's lingering guilt. Please don't call in if you like hurt someone. Like nothing criminal, because we're going to have to report that probably. But, you know, if there's something lingering that you did wrong that has just kind of stuck with you, 312-981-7200. You don't have to call on in. You could text it if you want, but I'd love to have a caller call on in. But it was just a cool story from the umpire thing. I remember I called my younger brother out. I umpired a game that he did. I called him out on strikes, and he was so mad at me, but it was right down the middle, Drew. You got to swing at that one. My mom yelled at me for that. She's like, you couldn't give him one more ball? I'm like, I'm an umpire. I have a card I have to support and stand up to my thing. So 312-981-7200 if you've got any stories like that. Roger, anything coming to mind for you?
I was always the one getting yelled at. I never had a chance to yell at anyone or do anything to anyone that I, at the time, should not have done.
Right.
That I can remember. I was always getting yelled at.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately. I mean, I dealt with it.
You were always getting caught, Rogers, your thing. You couldn't carry
it. Well, not getting caught.
You couldn't carry any guilt.
It was, no, I felt guilty for being in your way when you're walking on a sidewalk down the middle?
No, I just.
No.
I
know what you're talking about, but I would get yelled at, you know, like, don't get off the base.
Right.
Stay on first.
Right.
And I would do what I was told.
Yeah. I'm talking even like things off the baseball field, too. Things that have done that you want to air on out. Let's go to the phone lines really quickly before we get to the news. Mark, you're on WGN.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. You got a little league memory for us.
Yeah. We were massacring the other team. It wasn't quite slaughter rule. But the umpire was trying to help the other team end the game. And I remember they called strike three where the baseball actually hit the plate.
It bounced out of there,
Like, our dugout was a bunch of bad kids. We kind of made that guy cry.
Whoa, you made the umpire cry?
Yeah, we felt bad. And it was nothing to do with the parents. It was just the kids. But that was back in, I'm 45 now. So
yeah, well,
back in Little League days.
I imagine, because I remember I played Little League, too, and I remember the umpire seemed so much older, but they were probably just 2 or 3 years older than you.
Oh, God, yeah. It was not that much. Right, the big kids, basically.
Mark, did you know who that umpire is by any chance, or no? He was not one of your friends?
Oh, God, no. God, no. That was so long ago.
Well, if you are that umpire out there and you remember calling strike three on balls hitting the plate to rush it along. Mark, do you have anything to say to that person?
Yes. No, I am very sorry that we treated you that way.
I'm glad we're able
to. That's about it. That's all I can say.
Exactly. That's all you could say, Mark. You could say sorry. Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
312-981-7200. Let's air out our grievances here. Our things, not our grievances, but our sorrows. What we did wrong as kids, and there's
atone
someone out there.
For our
yes.
errors.
Let's atone for
there
it
you
with
go.
Some radio magic. Also, what song would you like to hear when you call on in? Let Michael know, the producer, when you call, and we'll try and have some walk-up music for you to home plate / onto the call line. But you heard the tone just about a minute ago, which means it's news time. 720 WGN, John Hansen until 1 in the morning here. It's 11:08, broadcasting from the Skyline Studio here along Wacker Drive. Michael, this is a little forgive me, right? Because we're talking about atonement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I read you the story about a baseball Little League player who had done something, flicked off an umpire, gave him the bird, felt bad about it for 25 years, and finally found the umpire and apologized, and they obviously mended their whatever fences were broken, which were none. The umpire didn't even remember the incident. But I was wondering if anyone out there had wanted to atone for anything that they had done way back when, say they're sorry. And we had a couple texters saying, well, we had one gentleman who's 52. He says he'll never forgive himself when him and his brother got in a fight and he really scratched up his brother's face, which is something that lingers with him. But we have another one, another story, at least the story about an umpire. Eric, you're on WGN. Good evening.
Good evening.
Where are you calling from, Eric?
I am originally from Flossmoor. Right now I'm driving around Logan Square.
All right, in the Logan Square neighborhood. Great neighborhood. Tell us your story.
So this is back when I was in the fourth grade. We were in a Mustang League, and we had this umpire who just really wasn't good, but he was not good in a way that he just couldn't move, and he couldn't, you know, get off the home, you know, couldn't get off home plate, huh. Missed a few calls. And, you know, when this happened, like always, you know, the parents are, you know, giving him a tough time.
Right.
Players were giving him a tough time. And then it took us a little bit to realize, you know, maybe there's, you know, something a little bit off about this umpire. He's not, you know, he's not as agile. Long story short, you know, we gave him a lot of crap for the game. At the end of it, my dad goes up to me, he's like, hey, good game. Sorry for all the crap. I might have said something, you know, a little bit, you know, a little rude.
Right.
Fast forward about 15 or so years, maybe more, Jason Benetti is talking about being an umpire.
Whoa.
Jason Benetti is from my hometown. My brother elbows me. A couple days later, hey, remember that story Jason Benetti was talking about? I'm pretty sure he was your umpire in that game who couldn't, you know. Also,
right.
He got taken out by a slide at home plate. That was a whole ordeal. And 15 years later, I feel terrible about it because I think my brother's right. Jason Benetti was my umpire, and we were just so mean to him. So, Jason, if you're out there listening, I deeply apologize for all of the Mustang, Flossmoor Mustang double rays.
Wow.
We did not mean it. I still feel bad to this day.
Yeah, and Jason, of
even
course.
Even though it wasn't Jason Benetti, even though it wasn't my favorite
right.
announcer, I still feel terrible about what, you know, the things we said.
Right. For those that don't know, Jason Benetti, of course, an incredible broadcaster for the White Sox crew. He is awesome. And the way he's able to tell the story of the games and also mix in the stats as well as he does. He also he lives with cerebral palsy, and a more mild form of it than some other folks. Jason's an incredible person. But yeah, maybe a limited mobility as an umpire, certainly. Man, Eric, but you know, when kids, you know, I can't believe parents were getting on board with that. You know, when you're kids, you do dumb stuff. You make fun of people, or you give people crap when you shouldn't. At least you're atoning for it now, Eric.
I feel better that it's off my chest.
Yeah.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah, no, Eric, I appreciate the phone call, and I'm sure Jason, or maybe I'll be able to relay the message over to Jason. I'm sure he has long forgotten it. He's got a successful career, and he probably had to deal with a lot of that growing up that he's had to overcome, certainly, and good for him. Eric, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Wow, what a powerful story that was, and we really appreciate Eric sharing it. Yeah, you never know. Like, these umpires are kids, they're young adults, they're dealing with a lot of stuff on their own, too, and you never know what might be going on there behind the plate. Wow, Michael, what an incredible story.
That is, it's so crazy because you never knew who you're going to, and you always see those movies and you hear the stories about like, oh, I shouldn't have picked on so-and-so because
right.
they became this person.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was thinking about that story you were talking about, you know, with the umpire and giving him the two middle fingers and stuff like that. First, I thought, how much time do you have on your hands to like search out something like that?
Right.
for years.
But if you're that guilty, if you feel that bad about it, and it, social media will do it for you. Just put the story out there. Someone will help you out.
Yeah, that's crazy that that was the worst thing that was sticking with him.
Well, he didn't say that. Maybe he's got other secrets. Maybe that was the first one he's atoned for, and he's going through a list, and that was the easy one.
And then I was thinking, what if he was like, and that man, that umpire, was Steve Bartman. Yes. And I'm like, that guy gets no luck when it comes to baseball. Jeez.
630 says, I was walking to our local farm stand, and someone behind me beeped, thinking that they were being rude when I wasn't walking in the road or in their way. I turned and I flipped them off. When I arrived at the farm stand store after the car that had beeped at me, of course, I realized it was my next door neighbor, among the kindest people I've ever known. She'd likely have been beeping to say hi or give me a ride, and I had given her the finger.
That's amazing.
Hopefully that one was rectified pretty quickly. I will say that, I'm not the nicest driver in the world. Mm-hmm. I believe in the code of ethics of driving. If you're at the stoplight, to get off your phone, and as soon as that thing turns green, especially if you're at a green left turn arrow, you got to gun it out of there.
Yeah.
And if you're not going as fast as I think you should be, I give you a little beep. Or if you're waiting an extra second or two, I'm quick on the beep. Because mm-hmm. in Chicago, mm-hmm. we're trying to get a bunch of cars through these intersections, people.
Oh, yeah. You don't want a bottleneck because you've been stuck there for hours.
Right.
Hours.
Or if someone makes the slowest left turn ever. Anyways, so I'll give them a little beep here or there. So, having said that, there's been times where you beep the wrong person, turns out you were in the wrong, mm-hmm. and you know you're never going to be able to talk to that person. Mm-hmm. I wish we could just like enter their license plate like a little keyboard and be like, sorry. Or there should be another beep. So you should have the normal beep that's like, move it or there's an emergency.
Yeah.
Then there should be the apology beep. So instead of, it's like, boop, boop, or some other noise, like a ringing bell, where it was like my bad beep.
Mm-hmm.
There should be two horns on the car.
The whole car should be made of horns, is what I'm thinking.
For every emotion. I'm sad, I'm sorry, or that was a funny, did you see that billboard? That was funny. There should be a laughing noise that comes out.
There'd be Auga would be a good one, too. And like, of course, La Bamba would be in for a good mood.
Yes.
The whole city would be so loud.
Right. But come on, an I'm sorry beep. That would be so, I think that would ease a lot of the road rage we have. Because everyone's done an accidental beep or a beep that they are like, oh, I should take that back.
Yeah.
My bad.
I think the double beep is a pretty happy I'm sorry beep. Beep, beep. Beep,
yeah.
Beep, beep.
That's hard to do. Sometimes the double beep just turns into one long one, and you're like, oh, God.
True.
Or it's like a quadruple beep because it's a little sensitive.
Uh-huh. And then what about when the people, when you're in like a long line of traffic, and you're trying to beep it, like three cars ahead of you and not in the person who's in front of you, but like three cars ahead, and then the person in front of you is like, what the heck?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, that was meant for you. That was meant for that.
That was meant for the, yes, there should be a reach around beep.
Reach around beep.
Right. I just did that. I was coming on Lakeshore Drive in the construction down here, turning onto Lower Wacker,
uh-huh.
and the right lane was a right turn only. We had the arrow, and the person in front of me wasn't moving, but I know it was because the person in front of him wasn't moving, mm-hmm. him or her, mm-hmm. so I did a reach-around beep.
Yeah, and did
it's meant to be a domino beep. Like, I beep to let that person know, hey, beep at that person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there should be a domino beep noise, just like a pass this along.
Or like maybe, the car should be made a little bit more with more bumper action, so maybe you could just give them a little tap to
you.
Yeah, the beep.
Just a little, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I agree with that. We're going to reinvent the car through until 1 a.m. By 1 a.m. we're going to have this thing perfected.
I think we can do that.
Yeah.
Look at the people on the line.
312-981-7200. Love for you to join the conversation. We're talking about atoning for something you did when you were younger that you realized either immediately or years later that was wrong, and you'd like to say you're sorry for it out into the, we're at 38 states in Canada by about now that we're at sunset across the country. So that person might be listening. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call in. Or if you've got a great walk-up song that you'd like to play. So we were doing the show where we did all of our introductions. It's great when the baseball players get to come onto the field and come up to bat, and they get a walk-up song. So for our callers today or some of the texters, we've got a few of you guys lined up. After the break, we're going to be playing some of your walk-up songs. Join the conversation, 312-981-7200. It's John Hanson until 1 a.m. on 720 WGN. Hey, everyone. John Hanson here till 1 in the morning, 11:21 on this Friday night. Boy, I hope you're enjoying the crisper, cooler weather. At the very least, it's dry. That's what's nice. You don't have that humidity. It just feels so nice out there. We'll get the humidity back early next week, so summer's not over yet by any stretch of the imagination. Roger Mattis will have that full forecast coming in up in a bit. We've been talking about atonement for past sins or things that you've done wrong that you carry guilt. I think we all have moments of embarrassment that we remember as kids or as teens that kind of linger with us for a long time. Sometimes it's embarrassment of what you've inflicted on others and you just never got to say sorry for it. Or maybe you didn't know who you were wronging. They were an anonymous person in a car or passing by. And we are giving you the freedom to say you're sorry and we will wash you of all sins. Unless they're like real bad sins. Like if you're like, well, buried someone in the backyard, that doesn't count. No good. Don't call.
Someone is still in my
basement. Call 911. Like, let's sort that out. Help that person out. You can still fix this one.
Text those in.
Text, yeah. Don't call those in. Text them in so we have your number right here. We'll forward those to the proper authorities. 312-981-7200. The one about Jason Benetti was fascinating. And that's exactly what we're talking about here, trying to create some radio magic. And hey, at 11:22 in the evening, we're going to 38 states and Canada. That other person might just be listening. We're also talking about baseball, like, walk-up songs, and we've got a couple to get through from the text line. They're better with the phone call because then you can react to it, but I'll go ahead and introduce our next texter. So, from Montana, welcome to WGN Radio on the text line. Here is Brian.
You bam.
That's pretty good. But Brian strikes out, unfortunately, because he didn't call. Three pitches. Looks at strike three, swinging. Or looks at it right down the middle. Sorry, Brian from Montana. That's a great one, though. That's a good one. That's a classic.
Yeah, that one's. I've heard that one a few times. That's pretty solid.
Oh, wow. So unoriginal. Three strikes, you're out. Just a little ground ball to first. One pitch.
He's benched after the next game, too.
All right. Here we go. Ready for the next one, Michael? All right. Up next, from Wisconsin, welcome to WGN Radio from the text line. Here's Joan. That's pretty good. Joan hits a single. Single off to left. That's a good one. Nice job, Joan. That's pretty good. You got the third one ready to go, Michael?
Yes, I do.
All righty. From the 708, so I'm just going to guess it's from Des Plaines. Please welcome to WGN on the text line. Here's Mark. What? What is that? Slayer?
Slayer, Angel of Death.
Wow, that'll get everyone going. But can you imagine if someone walked up to that? You get the headbangers going.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty cool. Because right now, like when I remember when Starlin Castro for the Cubs would come up, he had a music that had a little more Latin flair, and everyone would clap along to it. I think either Rizzo or Javi Baez kept that going for the Cubs the next year. And there's a couple songs where everyone claps to it, but that nothing like a headbanger song to welcome you to home plate.
You haven't seen that in a while, too, where somebody just goes all out with the metal.
Right.
Something like Slayer. I know that, didn't Rizzo or Baez, they went up to Taylor Swift for a long time, too?
Yeah, Rizzo did for a while. Because now you got bad blood. That was the one.
That's right. Okay.
312-981-7200. Are there any old sins you'd like? This is a really disjointed. You got two options here. You can atone for your sins or you can listen to music that you'd walk up to home plate with.
Oh, what did the Slayer player get?
Oh, he hit a grand slam.
Wow, way to go, buddy.
You can't walk up to the plate with metal and walk. Can you imagine?
Or bunt, either. But, yeah. He has not bunt.
Just going to move the base runners along. I'll be on my way then.
That guy has a neck tattoo. Oh, he does not.
That guy is. Did you ever watch Rookie of the Year as a kid?
Yeah.
He's the guy who bats at the end with the big muscles and he's chewing the gum. And
like he's winding the bat and it's just like sawdust.
Yes.
You know, it's funny you say that. We had a Thomas Ian Nicholas on air last night.
Last night with Pete McMurray, really?
No, with Kent Smith.
Oh, okay.
Also,
cool.
Also good. Yeah, we had him on. He's actually playing on Saturday night over in Wrigleyville, so it all comes together.
Yeah, no, and I've interviewed Thomas a couple times. Great guy, of course, and he's really into the comic scene too and stuff. He does a lot of those conventions and stuff.
Yeah, he's in town this week for Wizard World.
Wizard World, that's mm-hmm. what it is. Okay, mm-hmm. We got a couple more coming in. I'm going to take a quick commercial break so I can tell Michael what they are and get those requests in. 312-981-7200. You can call or you can text. And then after the news, all things space. Here on 720 WGN. John Hanson until 1 o'clock here in the morning. It's still Friday night, though, 11:29. We'll get to that news in a second. But we're doing walk-up music for our callers and our texters. And we ready to go, Mr. Michael? Up next on the text line, please welcome from Kansas, here's Jerry! Oh, that's a good one. A little Rise Against.
Chicago Zone.
They're from Chicago, too?
Yes, they are.
Oh, look at that.
In the burbs.
That's a double. He smacked it off the wall. That's a good one. That guy comes to the plate with a little attitude there as well. Mm-hmm. All right, so there's a runner on second base. Let's see what happens next. Coming up next to the text line from Arlington Heights, here's Noah. Like Superman trainer. Ooh. Real, real, like Super. All right, that is Chance the Rapper.
Chicago Zone.
Very good.
I was going to keep saying that.
I think Noah grounded out to second base. It's a great song. Just, he pushed it over to the right side, but now there's a runner on third with one out. That's certainly mm-hmm. good news. So we got a runner on third with a one out. And let's find out what's coming up next. Here we go. From the 847, welcome to the text line. They didn't give me their name. I'm going to say it's David.
Wait.
Mike. What? What? You, there it is.
He's just making up names now.
We were a smooth running ship until that last one.
Well.
I'll tell you what, that was a... That's a double play. Lined it right to the third baseman, steps on the bag, ends the threat.
Wait, give me one more shot on that.
All right, hold on. Okay. Here's David. Yeah, that's good. That's a good one. I don't know that song. Who is that?
The Gap Band.
Do you know that song?
Chicago's Own.
Oh, man.
I've never heard that one. It's a funky band that I'm guessing is from the 1980s.
Back in my day.
Funk soul?
Back in my day.
Charlie Wilson, James McCone, Robert Wilson, Ronnie Wilson, and Val Young.
Okay. Hey, by the way, after the news, we're going to be doing What's Up with Space. We're getting a lot of more texts, and we'll do that after the... So stay with us. We'll get some of these more around midnight or so, because they keep on coming in, and this is fun. And you, Michael, you'll have to ask what Mike Wall wants for his walk-up music here.
Oh, yeah.
As well, when you give him a call.
I bet you it's spacey.
Yeah, I wonder what a space guy... He also is a herpetologist with a PhD in biodiversity, so...
Wow.
Who knows what we're getting? At 11:35, that'll be after the news. The Killer Spaceman. Nice job, Mr. Heidemann. 11:37 on this Friday evening here in Chicago. John Hanson and until 1 in the morning on WGN Radio. We're going to get to What's Up with Space in just 1 second. Mike is standing by patiently. But we've been talking about atonement for things that you did and you regret forever. And we got a really good one on the text line. This year is 1996. My mom buys her first car. It was a used but very nice and cool 87 Cutlass Supreme. I should say... This is not me. This is from a texter from the 630. So his mom gets a new car. This person had just gotten their license. And on Christmas Eve, she sends me to White Hen to get butter and milk. Oh, the old White Hen runs. I know that. So this person said that they decided to do donuts in the snow and they hit a dumpster with their mom's new car. This person lied, told her that a blue van hit it in the parking lot and took off. So this guy lied, this kid, he's 16, lies about his hitting a dumpster instead. It's actually, he lies, says it's a van. So he thought he's in the clear. Then 2 weeks later, after she gets the car back from the body shop, we pull into that White Hen, and there's a blue plumber's van there. And she asks, hey, was that the guy you hit or hit you? And he said, yes. That's the one who hit me. Well, she walked into the store and tore this poor man a new one, calling him every name in the book. I felt so bad for the guy. So to the plumber dude, I'm sorry, man. I was just trying to save my butt. Wow, that's an admission. So, yeah. I don't know why you had to lie, though. Just be like, no, it wasn't that guy. It was a different van, because then the plumber obviously got in a lot of trouble. All right, that'll do it for Atonement here, 312-981-7200. If you'd like to join the conversation now about space, well, we have been welcoming all of you into the program with walk-up music, so we must do the same for our good friends. So here we go. From San Francisco, California, senior editor at space.com, please welcome to the program, Mike Wall. All right, Mike, what'd you think about that introduction?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. You guys just keep on topping yourselves. It's I didn't think anything was going to beat last week when you guys just kind of improvised that little the space theme song or whatever, but yeah, well, pretty impressive.
Well, here's the secret is that Michael actually deleted the song, so it worked out perfectly that we were doing walk-up music. Don't worry, we'll have a new intro for you for next time. So, Mike, how's space doing? What's going on up there?
Oh, there's a lot. There's a lot of stuff up there. There's a lot of stars, a lot of galaxies, a lot of lots of planets.
Yeah.
Same. Nothing's falling out of the sky, really.
Well, that's good. That's certainly good news. Hey, you know, this story that you wrote 14 hours ago, by the way, you've written like 9 stories in the last 3 days as I go through your bylines. You're really on a roll. The biodiversity that might exist on alien planets, you and I have talked about in this program, the likelihood of that there's some form of life. In fact, it seemed incredibly unlikely that there wouldn't be. But this idea that that while we have this very diverse planet and biodiversity here on Earth, that there's some suggestions out there that wherever there is other life on other planets, that they might even have richer biodiversity. Walk us through this.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's basically this like climate modeling study that you know, also looked at the kind of ocean circulation currents and just took a bunch of like hypothetical alien planets and just modeled them, you know, with different like types of continent kind of layouts and different kinds of atmospheres, different kinds of ocean currents. And what they concluded was that if there's a planet with a pretty thick atmosphere and had like a significantly slower like spin rate than Earth does, and it would have stronger ocean circulation patterns, and that's important because ocean circulation is really key to life in Earth's oceans, because it takes nutrients from the depths of the sea and brings them up to the surface where the photosynthetic life is. So it's like really important for like the diversity of our ocean life. And and it turns out that Earth doesn't really have all that strong of these circulation patterns. Like, we don't have, like, a lot of this ocean upwelling, like, at least compared to what they did with their computer models with these hypothetical planets. So the implication is, we have this crazy biodiverse planet. Millions and millions of species, maybe even billions. Nobody really knows. But we may not be on the high end of the biodiversity scale for all alien planets out there. There could be some that just dwarf our diversity, which is really weird to think about.
Clearly we don't, this is all hypothetical, of course, but I guess the argument you could make is that, look, if you're running computer models for like different scenarios for planets, when you start to consider just how many planets are out there, it seems likely that, yeah, one or two or more of these things would fall into those conditions just by the sheer number of, planets out there meeting the number of possibilities in order to create life, right?
Yeah, and there are just billions and billions and billions of these things out there, and so some of them are going to be weird in very interesting ways, and it's also just there's like a metaphysical aspect to this, or like a philosophical aspect to this, and it's like we shouldn't assume that we're super special, and that's kind of hard to get our heads around because we like to think we're special. And all of human intellectual history, basically, over the past few thousand years has been about us confronting the fact that maybe we're not that special, we've got, Galileo comes along and says, actually, like, the sun doesn't go around, the sun doesn't go around the Earth, we're not the center of the universe. And then a couple hundred years later, you've got Darwin saying, well, actually, you know, we're not like specially created. We're just part of like a line of species. And so, yeah, I mean, we are gradually coming to grips with the fact that we as a species are not super special. And maybe it's time to consider that we as a planet are not all that special either. And that there's like no reason to actually think that we are the most diverse and the most like the kind of smiled upon planet in the entire galaxy. It's just kind of like, yeah, it's kind of strange to actually assume that, right?
I feel like it's a slow burn that we've slowly been realizing, as you said, that we weren't so special. It's been like a real slow one, but eventually we're going to get there and figure out that life exists other places and it's just as cool, perhaps, as ours. And I wonder for you, I mean, you have a PhD in evolutionary biology. Would it be like, I know that the odds of it happening in our lifetime, unfortunately, we've even talked about that, is not probably likely, but how cool would it be to like stumble upon this another diverse, biodiverse planet like ours and to kind of like test our theories of evolution or at least see what how they would translate in completely different other places? Would that interest you as a scientist?
That would be so amazing because, I mean, you could see how actually evolution plays out in a different planet that had different starting materials, that has like a whole different environment. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's really, that would be unbelievable to see. And it would also be really interesting just to see what these alien creatures are sort of made of, what their biochemical structure is, you know, what are the chemical reactions they use to make energy and all the rest of it, you know, and if, I mean, what are their sort of genetic molecules? And I mean, if like they have DNA too, and if they're like us in that way, then that's just like really fascinating because that means that life probably had a common origin and has spread like all the way around our galaxy. Because like the chances that you independently stumble onto the same super complex like genetic molecule just by luck, that's just like super super tiny chance. So it would mean that like life has actually spread around kind of far and wide across the galaxy.
Oh, that kind of blew my mind, gave me goosebumps there. All right, coming a little bit closer back to Earth, but not all the way, talking about the moon, Japan getting in the game to help trying to help humanity settle on the moon, and they have a timeline for what they're going to be doing. Walk us through, because it's a lot sooner than I think I realized that another country was aiming to get there.
Yeah, it's part of this sort of private rush to the moon. I mean, private companies, there's a bunch of them that are interested in sort of, in like taking scientific payloads down to the moon. I mean, some of it is like they like want to get paid by NASA to do this and, you know, take NASA scientific gear down to the moon. There are a few companies that have already scored contracts to actually do that. But there are some other companies, and there's this one you're talking about, Japanese company iSpace, that they sort of want this just because they think it's a good business deal too, and they want it on the action. They're planning to launch their first surface mission to the moon, put down like a lander on the moon in 2021, and then in 2023 they'll do their first mission where they actually land something and put a rover down. You know, they'll like have a lander and they'll like roll a rover off that lander and start to explore the moon's surface. And I mean, like the idea most of these companies have is, I mean, there's a lot of, like, there's lots of water ice on the moon. I mean, especially if you go to the poles and at the bottom of the craters, like lots of craters near the poles, it's been like, sunlight has not hit these crater floors for billions of years, probably. They're in permanent shadow and they're just like cold traps, basically. So like over like the last 4.5 billion years, this like water ice has built up in these things. And so the idea is if we can mine that water ice, we can access it, and we can like use it obviously to keep astronauts alive on the moon to help start settlements, but we can also turn it into rocket fuel. Mm-hmm. And we can like, and so we can like make these off-Earth fuel depots, you know, like put gas stations up basically like around the moon. And we can spur exploration through that sort of thing. So that's what all these companies are kind of trying to do. They want to go do prospecting work with the resources, with the water ice, and be one of the first ones to start extracting it and selling it to people.
Fascinating stuff. We're going to take a quick commercial break. More with Mike after that. I want to ask you about the story about, the Earth going to the moon. Nope, the United States going to the moon maybe by 2024 again. But then also this idea of nuclear propulsion being a game changer for space exploration. That'll be coming up next on WGN.
Now it's time for Mike Wall from space.com with What's Up with Space?
Did you just do that in, while we were talking, Mike Heidemann? You just that's take number two?
Yes, I did.
Which one do we like better, Michael or Mike Wall? Do we like this one better?
Yeah, that one was pretty cool. I like all the little beepy boopy stuff going on. That's,
yes.
That's pretty cool.
Because nothing says stereotypical space segment like beeps and boops to really get us back. Talking with Mike Wall from space.com, great website. And Mike, we just kind of met through another producer a couple months ago. And it's one of the sites that I've bookmarked. I follow guys on Twitter, on Instagram as well. You guys just do some great work over there.
Cool. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Oh, good. All right, good. I thought you were going to go on a long expanse about it. But, yeah, you kept it nice and short there. I like that. it's like, yeah, it's good. Cool. Go, everyone. Space.com. All right, nuclear propulsion, a game changer potentially. Is this harnessing the power of nuclear energy like we've done here on planet Earth but using it to move things faster through space?
Yeah. This is something NASA's really interested in because with their sort of ultimate goal in like the human spaceflight arena anyway is to go to Mars and put boots on Mars, and they're trying to do that by the end of the 2030s. But one of the big hurdles is just how long it takes to actually get there. It'll take like a minimum of about 6 months, and that's just like one way. And then you've got to worry about how much time you're actually going to spend on the surface, and then you got to get back here. And so, that's going to impose some serious risks for the astronauts going. You know, there's a lot of radiation in deep space. Once you get away from our planet's kind of like protective magnetic bubble, and of course, if you're away from Earth's gravity for a long time, then you got to worry about like your muscles wasting and your bone density decreasing, and all this stuff. You know, so like one of NASA's real goals, if they can pull it off, is to try to reduce the trip time, and one of the best ways to sort of do that in the short term might be with this thing called like nuclear thermal propulsion, which is basically like you put on your spacecraft, you've got like a small nuclear reactor, basically like a little fission reactor, and you take the heat that it generates. I mean, if you split an atom and you get a lot of energy, obviously, you know, you get bonds that way too. But you harness that heat and use it to just blast like some kind of propellant out the back of your spacecraft. You can get going really, really, really fast. So yeah, NASA's been talking about that like recently. I mean, NASA's administrator just mentioned that just like the other day, saying, you know, this has great promise for us and we should really investigate it and like throw some serious money at it, which Congress has already done. Congress allocated about $100 million for the development of this technology just this year. So,
well, I imagine it's like anything else. It's about how much is the payload, how confident are we that it works? Because really, once you get up to a certain speed, right? I mean, like space isn't going to slow you down. So it's not like you have to have a reaction going around all the time. You just got to do something to get up to the speed you need, right?
Yeah, there is zero friction up there. So once you get going fast, yeah, there's nothing that's going to slow you down unless you hit like an asteroid or something, which would be bad.
That'll slow you down. Yeah, that's going to be more than just a minor inconvenience. I feel like, oh man, we slowed down a little bit due to that asteroid we just face planted into. Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, it's a little scary to think about putting people on board a spacecraft with a fission reactor. But, you know, I mean, it's not going to be like a Chernobyl-type giant monster thing. It'll be like a very scaled-down, small version of it. It's just something that they're talking about. You know, it's not – I mean, maybe it'll be ready in 10, 15 years when we're really starting to think seriously about going to Mars if things progress like the way that we hope they do and if the whole moon stuff that we want to do is going well. But that's a whole other story that we can talk about too.
Yeah, and I imagine it's like anything else. When we were deciding to go to the moon, it's a lot of different things happening at once. Deciding how you're going to get there, building the machines, it takes some time. So it's good to kind of like lay the groundwork now for travel that's coming up in 10, 15, 20 years. All right, Mike, well, we are out of time here tonight. Thank you so much for always popping on in and joining us. It's always nice to talk to someone in the Pacific time zone because at least it's 2 hours earlier where you are.
No worries. Always fun to talk to you guys.
All right. Absolutely. That is What's Up with Space. Mike Wall from space.com. We'll talk more in the future. Quick commercial break, then the news on 720 WGN. Good Saturday morning, everyone. John Hansen until 1 o'clock. Anna Stanley coming up after that. She's in for Matt Bubala. It is 12:06. on this Saturday morning, and welcome to WGN. Thank you so much for listening. Again, John Hanson here in the Skyline studio, and we're going to play a little game I like to call Finish the Headline, but we're going to do things a little bit differently. We've already got our callers on the line. I'm going to read them a little bit of the story. They have got to figure out the end of it. The clues will be given if we need to go a little bit further, unless, of course, someone gets it on the right try or the first try. And Michael Heidemann, what are they playing for?
They're playing for Lumal Nadi's Pizza. It's at many locations here in Chicago, and some of the finest pizza in all of the world.
Is that what the live read says, or you just can't find it? Very good. $25 off to Lumal Nadi's Pizza. We'll have all the details for you in just a little bit. First contestant, Dennis. Dennis from Elgin. Thanks for joining us today. How you doing, Dennis?
Fine. How are you guys tonight?
Good. You want a little pizza?
Heck yeah.
Heck yes. And that was your test. You didn't swear. Nice work. Sue from Kankakee. How you doing on this Saturday morning?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good. You read the news a lot? You're up to date on the news?
I'd like to think so.
Well, we'll find out. That's Sue from Kankakee, contestant two. Contestant three is Terry from Roselle. Terry, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. Do you keep up to date on all things going on in the world?
I hope so.
Yeah, right, exactly. Although this wouldn't be one that I would blame anyone if they hadn't heard yet. Let's go to Annette. You're calling all the way from Belvedere. How you doing? How's things going in Belvedere?
Very well. How about yourself?
Doing very well. I often would drive up when we drive up to Hayward, Wisconsin. Our first stop is always at the Oasis at Belvedere, so we love you up there.
Ah, okay.
All right. She's like, yeah, there's a lot more than the Oasis in Belvedere, but let's go to Jim. Jim, you're calling from Wonder Lake. You're contestant five. How you doing, Jim?
Oh, splendid.
All right, great. So that's all five of our contestants on the line. I'm going to read a part of the story a little bit, and then we'll go Dennis, Sue, Terry, Annette, Jim with their answer or their guess. Okay, a mother, this comes out of the UK, was arrested and taken into a police cell after being accused of doing what? I will tell you that it is something that you wouldn't expect that you're going to go to prison for. It's nothing very serious. It's lighthearted, but she had to go to prison for it. That's your first clue. I don't expect anyone to get an answer for it, but I want to hear what you guys think. What did this mother in the UK go to jail for? Without any clues, Dennis, any quick guesses?
Public breastfeeding.
No, not public breastfeeding. Oh, that's a very topical thing there, Dennis. It's something we are talking about more and more these days. Nope. Sue, what did this mom in the UK go to jail for?
Not buying her child something they wanted.
Oh, that's a good guess. You know that kids want everything. That is not the answer. That's okay. Terry, what did this mom go to jail for?
Not picking up her child from school.
Ooh, another good one. No, that's not it, but you are kind of all on the right path here. Let's go with Annette. Annette, what did this mom go to jail for?
Not providing her child with the proper clothing they needed.
Okay, like not dressing them for the correct weather. No, but you're all doing this in a real motherly way. Jim, any other guesses before I give the first clue? Jim, what do you got for us?
Shooting a moon.
Shooting the moon? What do you mean by that?
Hey, moon. Mooning.
Oh! No, that's a good guess, though. That might be deserved, although it's not the most serious thing someone could do. Nope, all right, that's the first round. I'll go ahead and give you a clue here. So she basically went to jail because of a everyday or every week chore, and she learned that orange is not the new black. Orange is not the new black. And this involves an everyday or an every week chore. It's not going to be easy still yet. Dennis, any guesses?
She left her laundry hanging out.
Ooh, good option. That is not the answer, though. Sue and Kankakee, orange is not the new black, and an everyday chore she went to jail for.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's tough. You can pass. There'll be more clues later.
Not dressing her child in the uniform.
Oh, that's a really good guess. That is not that. Terry, you got anything for us?
Orange is the new black. Yeah. It's either got to be carrots or jail.
Oh, yeah. So it is she went to jail because orange is not the new black. Not carrots, though. That's a good guess. Let's go to Annette. Annette, any idea? I know, this is tough.
It is very tough. Gosh, I don't know.
You can pass and wait for another clue.
I'm going to pass on this one.
That's fine. Let's go to Jim in Wonder Lake. Any ideas, Jim?
Well, I'm going to have to pass also.
That's fine. Yeah, this is hard. You're not supposed to get it right now. Now we'll start to see. All right. She said that her time she spent in jail was a real waste. Dennis, any idea?
I can't quite get the word.
It's okay.
For it,
we're getting.
I don't have to pass.
You're going to pass there, Sue. Her time in jail was a real waste.
Didn't change her child's diaper in time.
No, that's a good answer. Sue, you are good with these clues. You're thinking there. I think the next one you're going to get it. Let's go to Terry. Terry, what are you thinking? Her time was a real waste.
It has to do with taking out the garbage or doing something wrong with the garbage.
Yeah, you're on the right path, but you're not quite there yet. So we're going to go to Annette. Annette, any idea? And you got the context clues a little bit from Terry.
Well, I think she might have put the garbage in the street where there wasn't it belonged.
We're getting really close. No, it wasn't quite that. Jim, any guesses out in Wonder Lake?
No, I'm going to pass.
She's going to pass. All right, so we know it has to do something about the garbage. Let's just say that she initially refused comment, but the whole thing was rubbish, and that's just two of the three R's. Rubbish, refuse. Dennis, any idea? What did she do wrong?
She did not use the proper recycling bag.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. Dennis from Elgin is our winner. Hold on there. Sue, I got to give you credit. You had a lot of good clues there. Sue, thank you for playing from Kankakee. You got us on the right track.
Thanks.
And Terry from Roselle, first one with garbage. Terry, sorry you weren't quite there, but you did great. Thanks for calling and playing, okay?
Thanks.
All right. Annette, you did great, too. Thanks so much for joining us here on WGN.
Thank you.
And, yep, oh, thanks, you. And Jim, have a good one, okay? We appreciate it.
You too, brother.
All right, but we go to Dennis. Dennis, how'd you get that one? I mean, have you heard this story yet before?
No, but you know what? I'll tell you, these games are so easy when you're just a listener. It's quite a bit different when you're a participant.
Yes, it certainly is. The pressure is certainly on. We've never done it this style. But this was a mother. She was arrested and taken to a police cell after being accused of putting her rubbish in the wrong color bin bags. Her name was Lindsay Webb. She was detained by two officers after falling foul of new recycling rules. A court heard that the 34-year-old was caught dumping household waste in black bags near her home when she should have been using new orange-colored ones. After giving evidence via video link from her cell, she was eventually given a discharge and ordered to pay a 50-pound compensation. She said householders were totally in the dark about the recycling program and that they hadn't even delivered the new orange bags, and she says it takes them so long to take the garbage out anyways, I can't believe I was arrested. Dennis, is this going a little bit too far?
I think that it is so far to take it from your house to the curb. I don't know that that's going to stand in court.
Yes, I don't know if it will either. Apparently she's going to pay those 50 pounds, and the rest of the Brits are trying to address the situation and do it accordingly. Dennis, are you a recycler?
I am, actually. Right. I'm kind of militant about it.
Well, very good. You're separating the plastics, not throwing the pizza boxes in there. You're following the rules, and as a winner, you're going to win our pizza. Congratulations, Dennis.
Awesome.
All right, you stay on the line. Michael will get you all the details. Quick commercial break, 720 WGN. Hey there, everyone. Happy Saturday morning. John Hansen until 1 o'clock. Hannah's going to join us next. She's in for Matt Bubala. She'll be until 5, and then it'll be a new day. I guess it's already a new day. 12:19 on this Saturday morning, broadcasting live from the Skyline Studio, 18 floors above Wacker Drive and the gorgeous Chicago River on this crisp evening. Okay, Roger and Michael, I'm trying to quiz you next, all right? So we did finish the headlines, and now it's time to quiz you guys. Are you guys good tippers? I want to know that from the start. Do you guys consider yourself adequate tippers? Roger?
Yeah definitely.
No matter what?
Over-tip sometimes.
So you're going to ace this quiz about tipping here in a bit.
Oh, okay.
Michael?
I'd say I'm fair to Midland when it comes to tipping.
Midland? What does that mean?
Midland,
like
Texas.
Middle of the road? Yeah.
Between Fair, Illinois and Midland, Texas. See, somewhere down there. Somewhere. Mm-hmm.
I prefer Midland, the country band from or Lower Nashville. I think that it depends on the service. I mean,
right.
Especially being, you know, somebody who doesn't have all the money in the world, I expect to, you know, get the right kind of service for the right kind of tip.
Do you have you ever been cow tipping? Well, you're from McHenry.
That's true. We did have a lot of cows. I never tip over a cow. I've seen it in the movies. Never seen it in person.
I've only seen it in one movie, and that's Tommy Boy when Chris Farley does it. I didn't know it was a thing until I saw that movie, cow tipping. Roger, you ever been cow tipping before?
Nah. Nah. I've milked a cow.
Really?
Petted close a cow. I was kissed by a cow.
Whoa.
Was it consensual? 2020, or it's 2019, Roger.
Yeah, I guess.
Me.
Hey, kissed me on the cheek.
The me move movement.
Me move.
Me move.
Kissed me on the cheek.
I'm really proud of that joke. Why were you milking a cow, Roger? Just passing by and...
No, took the family to one of the farms, one of these farms where you can, the kids can, you know, walk amongst all the animals and like a petting farm, but you can actually sit and milk a cow. They'll let you. And it's 1 year I milked the cow. I don't know if it was the same cow that kissed my cheek.
Well, I don't know. Maybe she remembered you.
I could be.
Yeah, that was what the kiss was for. You milked her. I'm not going to finish the sentence. Okay. All right. I'm going to end up on DiGilio's show pretty quickly here. Okay, so we're going to find out if you are a good tipper. But this isn't just like what percent do you do for like restaurants or coffee. This is a little bit more unique. So here we go.
All right.
Let's say you take a complimentary shuttle from the rental car lot to the terminal, and the driver kind of unloads your bag from the bus to the curb. Do you tip?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. When someone touches your bag, you tip. That's going to be the rule that they... This is from the Washington Post, by the way.
I would have done it even if it didn't touch the luggage, if it just drove us.
Really?
Complimentary shuttle.
You even just the guy driving the shuttle back and forth at O'Hare
because
between...
You know the guy is not getting enough money
to deal
with the traffic.
Huh.
Seriously.
I say that if a driver drops you off and doesn't unless it's like a really long drive, but if it's just part of a normal route, because like you don't tip the CTA guy. And he drove you around.
No, he won't let me in. I pound on the door, and he won't let me in.
That's because you're
Those doors are solid. You can't slip the money underneath.
But, like, I guess what's the difference between the airport shuttle guy and the CTA?
I already paid my fare on the CTA.
Oh, okay. You're right. If it's complimentary. I see where you're getting at. Okay. Do you tip a flight attendant if they serve you a drink?
No. Because I don't think they're allowed to take tips.
Michael?
No, I do not.
No, and you're not supposed to, Roger. You're absolutely right. Flight attendants are usually instructed not to tip or take tips, which bums me out. They work their butts off.
I know.
But I think that I read somewhere that they don't want passengers and flight attendants to have any sort of relationship where it's a matter of, like, you're giving extra money or service or stuff. Because they, at the end of the day, they're safety officials first, and that's their primary goal. So there's not supposed to be any impropriety there with some money going back and forth. Like, as if I tipped really well on that whiskey and we land in Lake Michigan, she's going to grab my stuff and make sure that I get out.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to guarantee
get that first service. Yeah, no.
I've seen people tip on planes though before, and it's really really weird because they say they can't do it, and he's like, no, or he or she are like, no, you take this money, and it's like, all right.
Well, they're insistent, and I think to keep from causing a commotion, if the person is like that insistent, they'll probably take it and then put it in a communal tipping jar or something.
All right. I'm moving on. Just going to leave that there. Moving on. Me move movement. All right. When do you tip the valet? When you give him the keys or here are the keys, or when they bring the car back to you? Roger.
I'm a little confused about this. So you're leaving
Imagine you have a car.
You're leaving
Nowadays, you can have four wheels and the motorized vehicles drive you from place to place. And you drive to a valet.
I know what it is.
Five minutes ago, you're milking cows. I don't know what century you're living in, Roger Mattis.
I'm in the present, baby.
Can you valet your cow?
So you're... I'm leaving a farm function.
You got to tip extra for that.
I'm leaving a farm function. And...
And I'm going out to get my car, and there's a valet there, and yes. I say, it's the red tractor.
Right. No, first you got to drop the tractor off, Rod.
Well, I did that to start with. No, I'm picking up the tractor.
No, so this is what I'm asking you.
Oh.
When you drop the tractor off and you give the keys.
No, because you want to make sure you get it safely back afterwards, so you it's an understood tipping situation.
You say, I'm going to tip later, I promise.
Well, you don't have to say it.
Right.
You know,
Michael, what do you think? Before when you drop the car off or when you pick it up?
I've experienced this only one time. I lived in Los Angeles and they valet everywhere there and when I lived there, I did tip when they brought my tractor back.
I've always tipped when they bring it back, but they're saying that you should tip your valet attendant, preferably when you hand them the keys. It's a great example of gratuity to ensure the proper service. You want that valet on their side when they are parking your car, because when they're parking the car is where you might have the instance where they give I'd say, I guess, to be safe, do it on both ends, but then it gets expensive.
Yeah, well, it depends how much you tip at the first and second time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like maybe $5 when you drop it off, and maybe $10, $20 when you get it back.
That's
safe.
A lot of money. How big is this tractor?
You're saying do it twice. I would just tip at the end and make it well worth their while.
Right. Boy, you got to handle that cow to really then.
Bessie, calm down.
Yeah, imagine parallel parking that thing.
Well, she wants a kiss, and I'm busy. I'm working.
Yeah, you're milking her.
Well, no. I mean, I'm doing something else. She needs to wait.
Okay, so. Okay. All right, so.
Wow. Excuse you.
Well, that's that second move. That's what we were talking about, Michael.
I think Bessie is a little upset.
Well, that goes back to our previous conversation that I wish a car had multiple different types of horn. A short one for I'm sorry, and a long one for, that's an upset cow. But when the cow's okay with you, it just gives you a little quick one. Okay, so you're at a hotel. And housekeeping cleans your room daily, as that happens. Do you leave a tip? Roger.
Yeah, every day.
Every day. How much?
Put it on the bed.
How much?
Depends how long I'm staying there, how big the hotel is, how much work you think they have to do.
Bust out a spreadsheet?
If I'm in a Holiday Inn.
The tip calculator.
Let's put it this way. If I'm leaving it, it's $5. If Bridget sees me leaving the money, it's $10.
It's like a tip abacus that Roger just brings in. It's like Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind as Roger tries to figure out the tip for the housekeeper.
I don't have to figure it out. It's Bridget's looking at me. All right, I'll give it an extra money.
Every time Roger goes to a hotel, he's a big old sack of money with the dollar sign on it.
Bridget made me bring this.
Now, let me ask you as he's checking in. How many rooms are there? What's the square footage of this establishment? I got to know how many gold coins I have to give out. I got my bag and Scrooge McDucked my way into my gold coin thing and brought him to the hotel. Michael, do you tip the housekeepers?
I never have.
Yeah, and so a lot of people don't. I do when I have cash, especially as, you know, I got a little older and have a little money to not throw around, but just to, you know, give people the services. They say $10 a day, which sounds like a lot to me, though, Raj. I'm trying to think, if I stay at a place for a weekend, a long weekend, let's say 3 or 4 days, $30, $40, $50. I mean, they deserve it. They're cleaning all these rooms. They're underpaid. I mean,
they're very underpaid. And that's the thing. And they have time limits. They have to clean maybe 15 rooms in maybe 3 hours. And they really have to do a good job because, again, remember the check-in times and check-out times?
Yeah.
You have to be out by like 12, 1 o'clock, and you can't check into like 3 because they need to go and make sure that the rooms are checked and double-checked. And so they have to hustle.
Roger, did you work in hospitality and hotels?
I have.
Oh, okay, because you know all this stuff.
I have. I worked at...
you worked everywhere,
behind the desk and... Behind the desk. All right. So I worked behind the scenes and behind the desk at Playboy. I used to wash dishes.
The
hotel.
Wow.
Really? You guys didn't know this?
No.
Playboy Club and the hotel. So I started I was still in college, and I started over in the club, and I worked in the dishwashing room behind one of the restaurants. And then in my spare time, when we weren't doing dishes, I had to go clean up different places. One of the places I had to clean up was, got a little ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk going.
It's
one
Sir
of the places.
Roger Bennett.
Wait a minute, dude, you haven't heard the best yet.
Well, I'm teeing it up and behind the scenes at Playboy Club.
One of the places I had to clean up before they arrived was the Bunny's locker room.
Wow, Roger. How'd that go? How old were you?
I was in college, 19,
That's
20.
That's trouble.
And then one time it was trouble. We won't
Whoa!
Get into that. No, and so the next time...
Roger!
One time. So the next time, they promoted me, I guess, and I became the front desk clerk.
That's not a promotion. That's a demotion.
No.
You got to be in the locker room, and now you're running the desk?
Well, you're only in the locker room to clean.
Okay.
And that's behind the scenes. Nobody sees you doing that unless you walk in on someone. And then right. over on the desk, yeah. I'm seeing everybody. Like the time the phone rang, and it was okay. the road manager for Elton John,
oh.
and I had to book rooms for him.
Wow.
Man.
Roger, you have lived 1,000 lives in the one life you have.
You know, until the police can track me down, right. I'm doing great.
Right, well, for milking that cow. Quick commercial break, then the news on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, good Saturday morning, everyone. You hear Bear Down. Of course, they've got the third preseason game coming up later on tonight down in Indianapolis. Not that anyone's playing in it. Just really quickly before we do Today I Learned, so Roger, you can look up your Today I Learned story because we'll end the show with that.
Okay.
I got a chance to meet Charles Tillman. I think I may have met him before. The famed cornerback for the Chicago Bears, 12 seasons, then played one with Carolina before signing a one-day contract and retiring as a Bear. You know him as Peanut. He's an incredible person, got great story, great human being. He's actually rowing across Lake Michigan in a couple days, September 2nd, for a good cause. He built a boat with this other guy, and they're rowing across, and it's raising all this money for kids that have suffered, whether it's cancer or life-inhibiting diseases. Of course, medical costs rise really quickly. He dealt with that with his own daughter, who had some issues, and they were at Lures, I believe. Anyways, he's rowing across Lake Michigan, so that's why he was on the show. He's doing this great event, rowforkids.com, I believe, is where you can find more information about it. But I was like, oh, we're having Peanut in. What he's known for most is the Peanut Punch, which is, as I'm sure Michael and Roger, you probably remember, all those turnovers he created while he played with the Bears. If the other mm-hmm. guy happened to get the ball, he would punch it on out of there. Did it
yeah.
a ton. Forced so many fumbles, changed the trajectory of many games. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to give this a shot. We got a football. Let me see if he can really pop this ball out. Well, so he came on the show. He said he was fine to do that. So the first mistake I made was, because this was on TV, is I didn't hold the ball right. I thought he was going to give me a little more time to get set up. So everyone that's seen this video now on Instagram and Twitter is commenting mm-hmm. about how terribly I held the football. I get it. I was in marching band. My brothers were the football players. So I don't really know how to hold a football. But I know I was way off, but I wasn't quite ready yet. Anyways, so Peanut came from behind on the set and just, I mean, it bruised my ribs.
He hit it that hard?
He hit the ball that hard. And I got to tell you what, he's a tall guy. You can tell he used to play football.
Uh-huh.
But until he did that, I didn't realize quite how imposing, strong, athletic players are. Because when he performed, he moved his arms so fast. I don't know if you saw the video, Rod.
I did.
How quickly powerful and explosive.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching it over and over. How explosive it was. Because I even fell to the ground because he was kind of wrapping his arms around me.
Yeah, I saw that. Like he was tackling you.
Yeah, but he didn't like give me a full tackle. But even just the whoosh of his arm.
Yeah.
These guys
are so quick.
Insane.
And
you
were distracted, though. I will give you this. You were distracted because it looked like you were trying to forewarn all the staff off camera. Be careful of this flying football. I don't want anything to break or anyone to get hurt.
Right. And he also, he did it. He distracted me in his own by saying, now the first thing you got to do is, and then he just did it.
Boom.
Yes. It startled me. It knocked the wind out of me.
I know. I saw it. It was so...
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We actually have the audio. You can't see the video. You can go to my Instagram page or my Twitter page, John Hanson TV, to see it. But you want to play that audio, Michael? Have you got it?
Instincts, too. I'm going to catch it. I'm convinced that I can hold it tight enough that you ain't going to make me fumble.
Do you want to go viral? Do we want this to go...
I mean, that's always the goal.
Do we want this to go viral? Yes. Look, she moving the TV back and everything.
Pull down this monitor one at a time? No. Put the lights down. All right, which way should I go? Come this way? Or no, I'll be running away from you. How about that?
So if you run away, yeah, that's even easier. I used to do this one in college all the time.
Well, that's what we're going to try. All right, here we go.
So the trick is...
Oh, my gosh!
There you go. We didn't go viral, though. We didn't go viral.
I think we might.
John's in the ground.
The trick is boom!
Boom! Yes, it really threw me off. So... But I got to say, it was really powerful. And he's an awesome guy, and I really appreciate him coming in. And they're trying to raise a lot of money for a great cause for him rowing across Lake Michigan. I'm going to look up the website right
now. He's done this before. I remember he's been doing this every year, I think.
No. This is his first time rowing.
I thought he's done this before.
He's put out some videos of him training recently since he decided to do it.
Because I remember this happening, not... You getting the football kicked out or punched out from your arm.
Right.
But him with the rowing stuff to raise funds, I've heard about him doing this, and I could have sworn that he's rowed before.
No, he's not.
If this is the first time, then it's still ongoing charity of his.
Yes, rowed four kids. Yes, it is part of his foundation.
I've heard him talk about it before in years past.
Yeah, he's trying to raise $200,000. Him and Jacob Beckley are going to be rowing across. They've raised about a good chunk of that. So go to row4kids, the number 4.com. And I appreciate Peanut coming on and being a good sport. And I'm always happy to be the butt of the joke, as everyone knows who watches The Jam weekday morning, 6 to 8 a.m. All right, Roger, you ready to Today I Learned?
Oh, yes, I am.
Michael, you ready to
like
go?
This.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not going to like it.
Well, I don't know.
Okay. Do you want to go first then?
Well, sure.
All right. What did you learn today, Roger?
Smooth.
You can't play the cow sound effect.
I can't get away from Bessie. I learned that when you thought you knew of every place that a poisonous spider could hide.
Oh, no.
There is a new one. So I learned earlier today as I was checking my different stories.
Is that what you call gathering news?
Well, yes.
I was checking my stories. Okay.
You
sound like my grandmother who used to talk about soap operas. I was
my stories.
Flipping through my stories. Roger's just flipping the television, just jotting down a sentence or two.
Oh, this looks interesting.
That's how the news is gathered, award-winning newsroom.
You thought there was a science to it? Nah.
Yeah, the Edward R. Murrow Award ain't coming to Roger's anytime soon.
In the Ed Award, a Missouri woman who thought she had water in her ear was left shocked after medical experts found it was actually a venomous brown recluse spider.
In her ear?
In her ear. Susie Torres of Kansas City told doctors that she was very lucky not to have been bitten by the sneaky arachnid, which could have led to symptoms including fever, itching, and rashes.
And
Torres, who
horrible
said
nightmares for the rest of her life.
Right. The woman said she heard swooshing noises inside her left ear after waking up that day and noted hospital staff reacted quickly after she went in for a checkup.
Yeah.
Yeah. A medical assistant ran out and said, "I'm going to get a couple more people," Torres revealed.
That's never good.
No.
It's not good.
I got good news and I got bad news. Yeah. She then said, "I think you have an insect in there."
Oh, my.
Torres says, "Now, I didn't panic because I didn't know what exactly it was until she came back in. They told me it was a spider. They had a few tools and they
worked
their magic.
You would have had to put me under.
And got it. They would have had to have hit me with a mallet."
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I learned today, and I was as freaked out as most of our listeners probably are right now.
There's only one place worse than that, but I won't share it on air. 312-981-7200, what'd you learn today? Michael, do you mind if I go second?
Yeah, go right ahead,
yeah,
John.
Okay, well, here's what I learned today.
Wait, I want to go second. I'm just joking. Go ahead.
Is he checking his ears?
Yeah.
Hey, Michael. Swoosh, swoosh, swoosh.
I learned that Roger milked cows. That is one thing, but I learned. So this is fascinating to me. You know Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah, I love Chuck E. Cheese.
What? Really?
Yeah, you took the kids there all the time.
But, like, still?
No.
Okay. Well, you said it in present tense. Well, as if you went there for dinner before you rolled in here.
We actually took the grandkids there a couple of years ago.
And how was it?
It was nice.
What'd you think of the mouse?
Well, what, the one that walks around with the costume or the one
John,
that's busted up on stage?
You don't know this, but actually Roger was the mouse for a few years.
I love how I said...
I tried to milk the cow that was on.
I just love how I'm like, you know, Chuck E. Cheese, what'd you think of the mouse? And Roger says, which one? The mouse.
There's two of them. There's the animated one, which now it's not animated. It's all on video.
Okay.
There's one that walks around in a costume.
Okay, well, whichever one you choose, what'd you think of them?
The one on the ground going into the wall.
Right.
Creepy.
You thought he was creepy?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so he has a story. He has a backstory.
Right.
That they've created for him.
Okay.
When they invented this. His real name is Charles Entertainment Cheese. His last name is Cheese. And Charles Entertainment is Chuck E.
E. Yeah, all right.
His official backstory is that he is an orphaned mouse who does not know his own birthday. His orphanage was called St. Marinara's
Orphanage. The greatest.
To make up for never having a birthday party of his own, he hosts parties for children.
That's sweet.
After winning a Pong tournament...
Wait a
beer pong.
Pong.
Hold on. I can't even do this, but after winning a Pong tournament, Cheese moved to New York because they just call him by his last name on second reference. You know news stories,
right? Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, we can do away with the proper.
Yeah. Mr. Cheese, I'll say. Mouse Cheese moved to New York and started working as a singer at an Italian restaurant where he also met and befriended a musically inclined chef named Pasquale as the drummer. Eventually, this guy gets around. He moved to California
like me.
And created his own restaurant franchise, with Pasquale becoming his star chef and later joining his band. The two would go on to find others to join the band. Eventually, this is like Blues Brothers. Eventually, recruiting a talented vocalist chicken named Helen Henny, a purple keyboardist monster named Mr. Munch, who absolutely loves pizza. A little crap. And a country music loving guitarist bloodhound named Jasper T. Jowls. That is the official story of Charles Entertainment Cheese.
Wow.
I just love they named the orphanage. I was like, that's so sad. Yeah. St. Marinara's. What elementary school did you go to? Mr. Mozzarella's school for learning, for boarding?
Mozzarella's Montessori.
Good one, Michael.
Wow. He can never eat his own pizza that he makes for all these other kids.
I mean, it really is a sad story.
Well, he's a dirty rat. I mean,
you dirty rat.
But he deserves to know what his birthday was.
On my pizza.
Right. Also, why the hell is a mouse so concerned about his birthday? They live 3 years and then you just get it in a trap and then you move it on.
Not if you eat that pizza, you know.
Yeah,
you could live forever on that stuff.
All right, Michael, what'd you learn today? Oh, my gosh.
I remember, I just got to say that for a while I was really into skee ball, and the only place that I could go and play skee ball was at the Chuck E. Cheese in Roselle or something.
That was the closest one. 50 Bologna Factories, not a single Chuck E. Cheese up in McHenry.
Not a single one. So many fights happen there. Anyway.
Yeah, so Chuck E. Cheese, do you remember what the other one was called? Showbiz Pizza.
Yeah.
And that's the one I remember going to. I remember once the animatronics were all going, and then the batteries were slowly running out on them. So the song slowly slowed down. Yes. And then it started sparking.
What? Out of the eyes?
Yes. It was maybe that was a Simpsons episode. I'm getting a few things
mixed up. No, you know what that's from?
What's that
from? It's from the Goofy movie.
Really?
Yeah, where they go and they look at the possum. And the possums were up on stage. The puppet possums are on stage, and they all start sparking and blowing up, and the eye pops out of one of them.
John does go to bed watching the Goofy movie every night, so it might just be in your brain.
The wealth of knowledge that Roger Badish has is lost upon the world.
With two kids, you don't know how many times I have seen that movie.
Yeah, I loved the Goofy movie. Or Goof Troop, was that a thing, too? Remember that? That
show? I remember Goof Troop.
Goof
sure.
Troop?
Yeah.
That was part of the Goof Troop.
Cartoon series, yeah.
It's what they're going to call this show if you keep on doing it. On that note, let's take a quick commercial break.
Wait,
Michael.
He didn't finish.
What'd you learn today, Michael?
Nah, it's not going to measure up to anything that we just spoke about. Maybe we should take a break real quick.
So you can find a different one? All right, you find a different one. I've got one, too. We'll take a quick break, and we'll find out what everyone else learned on 720 WGN. All right, we're wrapping things up here on WGN till 1 o'clock. Hannah's standing by. She's already dancing. Before we get to her and finding out what she's got in for Bubala today, Michael, did you learn anything today?
Yes. Well, tonight I actually learned a lot. I think this is the most informative show I've ever been on. And the most fun ever, too.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I was skipping through a few.
Uh-huh.
I think that I'll land on this one.
All right. Are you going to turn on the music, or are you skipping out on that right now? I mean, you still have 4 more minutes on producer's duty, so why don't we run it on through? There we go. All right, what'd you learn today, Michael?
All right, so do you know that Pete Best was actually not the first member to drop out of the Beatles?
Really?
Yeah. In fact,
I did not know that.
Roger already knows this one. The original bassist who actually helped come up with the band's name, Stuart Sutcliffe, left the band to pursue a career in art.
Oh.
Yes.
Look at that.
Worst idea he's ever had.
Wow.
Yeah. Not a smart move to get out of the Beatles.
Right. I also like how you knew we had to fill 3.5 minutes, and you picked a story that was 25 seconds long. Nice job, Mike.
Roger probably already knows this, he probably thought I'd come in and fill up the rest of the time with the, oh, yeah, I remember, Stuart. Yeah, we hung out together in Germany.
What happened to him?
What happened to him, Michael?
He died of a brain hemorrhage.
Oh, God. Bad question, Hannah.
About 6 minutes after Love Me Do hit.
Yes. That would make me. I'd be like, oh, God.
He actually listened to the White Album backwards in his brain. No, that's
right. Yeah. Oh, no.
There's a lot of one. The original Star Wars movie actually wasn't named A New Hope until 1981, almost 4 years after it.
I've actually got one for you. That's interesting. So
that right now.
Did you know that the founder of the supermarket Aldi chain at one point was kidnapped?
What?
And held ransom. Yeah, he was held. So the CEO, his name was Theo Albrecht. And he died earlier this year. Actually died, 10 years ago. Great Real News article here, recent. July 24th, he died at the age of 88. So he ended up living a long life. But at one point, he was kidnapped by people. And the best part of the story is, the best part is that he got free somehow from his captors. I haven't clearly read the whole thing, but I read the headline. But the best part is that, so this is he runs Aldi. He haggled about his ransom money, and he claimed the sum as a tax-deductible business expense in court after his release.
Oh, come on. That's genius.
That's smart, though. If you're kidnapped because of your business, and you've got it because, you're famous because of your business, and you've got to use the ransom money, that should be tax-deductible, and it was.
For all you little leaguers out there.
Just know, when those kidnappers come around, just know you're going to have a real good filing season in the next year.
Yeah, make sure your accountant is privy to the latest updates. And
When you get kidnapped, your first call is not to 911.
No.
It is to your money manager.
That's right.
By the way, I think, if I'm not mistaken, his brother started the Whole Foods chain.
Yeah, I believe so.
Isn't
I believe they're all connected.
Or is
it Trader Joe's?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Trader Joe's.
Yeah,
yes.
Trader Joe's and Aldi are owned by essentially the same family,
right.
which is funny.
But they don't charge you for your cart.
No, they don't at Trader. No, no.
Mm-mm, Trader Joe's.
I love Aldi. I got to say. I'm a Jewel's guy now because I grew up at the Jewel's and there's one close by my house. But man, Aldi, the money you save there.
It's crazy.
We're not upsetting any sponsors, are we, Michael?
I know. I wish we had Aldi as a sponsor, in fact. Because
they have the
greatest wine in the country.
That's right.
Aldi wine.
Yeah.
Aldi wine. It's won awards.
There was one special one that got, within the past 2 years, it got the award for the best wine in the entire world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're headquartered right in Batavia.
We know a lot about Aldi. As it turns out, we're on it.
I'm a big fan.
Hey, Aldi, call the sales department Monday morning, will you?
All right. Sometimes we end the show with a real great bang. This one, we just kind of slowly fell into the lake.
I think it's the music.
Yeah. Wait, it really brings you in.
I can bring Bessie back.
I think...
You know, Roger's milked a bunch of cows in his life.
Just one.
So I'm glad you brought this up. Because I, Hannah Stanley...
Yes.
Am the great-granddaughter.
Okay.
Of the man who invented the Surge Milker.
The Surge Milker.
The Surge Milker.
Boy, that doesn't sound like something you want in your stocking for Christmas.
Which is an automatic milking machine.
Really?
Yeah. So if Orion or Max are listening, they'll be like, I totally know what Hannah's talking about. And it is...
Why are you here? That I feel like you should be
for
the fortuness of the automatic the milker.
Yeah. So that's a whole other story. But yeah, this is something I have...
Is this like passed down in the family, the story of how great-grandpa, whatever his name was... Mm-hmm. Formed this? Do you have farming backgrounds? Obviously, roots in your family.
I lived on a farm. And
really? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How authentic was that sound effect that Michael
Not
insists on playing?
Super authentic. Right.
Well, he didn't record. That wasn't Nat sound from one of his stories that he did.
I think the Foley artist on that needs to be a little.
No, that was from McHenry. That was
McHenry cow. Yeah. Yes, they're a little different up there.
That's why I'm used to DeKalb cows.
Yeah, there's a different
that's
sound.
Totally different.
Though. Boy, I hope you're taking your show in a better direction. Where are you going off today here?
We're talking magic.
Really?
Yeah. Do you see how my tone just changed?
Yeah,
just
I did. Like, I'm super that was an excited. Indication of a new topic.
There is a place. Hi, by the way, I'm Hannah Stanley. There is coming up a guest, Magic Penthouse here in Chicago.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about what they do, when they do it, and how everybody can be a part of it, and really magic in general, because I feel like it's really experiencing a big resurgence.
Well, there's the Magic Lounge right now that just opened up in Andersonville or North Uptown.
See?
It's awesome.
John Hansen co-hosting tonight.
Yes, exactly. Well, I could take you to 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Cool. So you're talking magic.
We're talking magic. We've got Robbie Gold coming in, who... WGN listeners will know Robbie Gold. We love Robbie Gold.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in like 2 years. So he's coming in. And then we are also talking about this bar called, I think it's Kohl's Chicago, who's auctioning off a whole bunch of Chicago-centric artwork and memorabilia pieces. And that's going to be leading us into the 5 o'clock hour. And
oh, fun.
I'm going, and then I will go home to sleep.
Yeah, right. Well, you were sleeping here beforehand. So
I was.
Little secrets behind the scenes
How
in radio world.
How many times have you slept at a radio station?
Oh, come on. At least
you
a dozen.
Count,
I mean,
right?
You can't, yeah. I mean, like whether it's doing traffic reporting and coming back 3 hours later.
Right.
And it's, and you know what? We do it right here in radio. You do it first at your college radio station. Everyone at one point sleeps at the college radio
station. Typically, I feel like because of snow.
Yes. Yeah, that happens a lot. Or the next they are like, hey, you're here. Stay here. The next person may not get in or whatever it is. Or what's the point of going home?
Right.
All right, well, have fun.
Thank you.
Do I have the read or do you have the read?
I think that you should have the read because I left it outside.